Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun! And see you later.
Hi guys, Alex here. Just a final reminder that myself, Bryn, Ben and Lydia are appearing in Grant Howitt's Dr. Magnet Hands panel at this year's Nine Worlds Convention in London on Friday the 12th of August at 8:30 p.m. Even better, our community manager Anil will be performing in a Bifrost cabaret, and Jonathan Sims of the Magnus Archives will also be appearing in his alter ego as lead of the Mechanisms band. For anyone interested in attending, tickets and details are all available at the website nineworlds.com. Thanks, guys. We look forward to meeting a bunch of you, and we hope you enjoy today's episode. Hello and welcome to episode 45 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Yule, and everyone's here!
Yay!
What are your names?
James Ross.
Say it again, I just like hearing it.
James Ross.
Yay! One more time.
James Ross.
Yay! With?
Ben Meredith.
Because you're here too.
I am here too, Ben Meredith.
One more time.
Bryn Monroe.
Yay!
Lydia Nicholas.
The only person who was here the whole time.
Yay!
Yay! So, everyone's back together. Not in the best of shape.
When you say everyone's back together, like...
All of the bits are here, just not necessarily in the right order.
Yeah.
And who are you playing?
Sir Bertrand, hero of the hour, MacGuffin.
I don't know, I'm still unconscious. Could be anyone. I don't know whose brain is in that body on that table, Alex.
It's Hitler's shark brain.
What is it with you guys and just skipping right to the good bit?
Sasha Rackett, presumably mostly Sasha Rackett, at least the outsides.
Zolf, any port in an arm? Smith.
So, yeah, if you haven't listened to the previous episode before
this
one...
That would make no sense!
You really should. Like, to be honest, it's not going to make a lot of sense skipping ahead anyway, but especially those last ones.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm heavy on pop culture references, but the pop culture is entirely me, so...
So, in big broad strokes, Paris.
Yeah.
Investigating...
Question mark. Lab.
Underground.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Lab.
Okay. Yeah.
And the last thing that happened, Zolf managed to put Sasha back together again. And I think as far as Sasha's concerned, there was never anything wrong in the first place.
We're all fine. I mean, like, my pulse is a bit strange. Seems to be a bit out of sync.
It's funny that you say that. We'll return to that as a thing a bit later.
He's a psychopath.
Yes.
But we respect his craft. Calm.
So the last thing that happened is Sasha effectively woke up. Mm-hmm. A big, scary, metallic man was coming. Mm. and it was Bertie.
And then he instantly insulted
Bertie stood in the doorway, yep. Hammond still unconscious, and the two of you are looking at him standing in the doorway as he's made a tasteless joke as a way of saying hello.
Sasha is lying down and peering up through an eyebrow, so she's seeing all of this like over the top of her head.
Yeah.
Looking up from a prone position.
Go for it.
Hello, young lady. Sleeping well, are we?
Shut the eye.
Pretend he's not real.
So the hero of the hour has arrived. You must all be delighted to see me. I know I would be in your position, Mr. Smith. You are, yes, shorter than I remember you.
Who are you?
I am Sir Bertrand, hero of the hour, McGuffingham, and you, Mr. Smith, are Zolf, short nautical minute, Smith.
No, because we're in a lab. And if you'd actually done your research, you would know that Bertie wouldn't probably even know what a lab was.
Well, so then, how would I know that this was a lab if I was me and you'd ask me whether this was a lab or not? Ha! Quadrat demonstrandum, Mr. Smith. It would appear you're as short on sense as you are on legs.
Sasha does mumble. That does sound like it.
Definitely a good actor.
Young lady, it is a pleasure and a delight to see you once again. Have you seen Hammond anywhere?
Oh, wait a minute. Bertie, Brutal doesn't care where you are.
Just a single tear.
Good to have you back, Bertie. Good to have you back.
Well, you still owe me money. Now, where is Hammond?
Hammond is over there.
Bertie turns to look at Hammond. What condition is Hammond in?
And Sasha's going to sit up and look over as well.
Okay.
I'd also like to know, are these guys wearing their armour? Did they have their...
Yes.
Are we in any clothes at all?
So...
Were we lying naked on these tables?
So, all of you are in the clothes that you were wearing the last thing that you remember. With a bit more context, however. Zolf, you are... Obviously, you were just wearing effectively shirt, no armour or anything like that. For Sasha, your magical leather armour is... beside the table, but everything else is exactly the same. It's just there was a clean sort of cut to reach through to the body beneath.
A classic autopsy cut. Yep.
And it's the same on Hamid's clothing. So his magical sleeves are placed just beside the bed. There's been a cut through the shirt to expose the chest beneath. And for Hamid specifically, his arm where there was that spiral scar, the spiral has been opened. It doesn't look like it's infected or anything like that. It looks like it's been opened... but could quite easily be healed by Zolf or someone similar.
Sure. And he's had the cut in his clothes in the autopsy section.
So he has had no cuts on his body whatsoever, but the shirt has been cut as if to begin the process of whatever.
Am I wearing both my rings? I've got two magical rings on each hand.
Your rings haven't been removed.
Okay. Gonna go put my leather jacket and stuff on before coming over to join you all.
Right. How many are you awake?
Bertie strides over to Hammond. Hammond!
Wait. I'll put his arm back first. I'm going to convert Divine Favour into a level 1, a Cure Light Wounds. Or just a Cure Light Wounds. That was rubbish, and that is 4 hit points.
4?
Yeah.
You are conscious, but at the very bottom minimum level.
Sorry, I'm on 1 hit point.
You are on 1 hit point. But again, like Sasha, you don't feel atrocious... However, his arm is sealed up, and it appears to have been sealed completely fine again.
Okay.
It was very easy, there was no complications.
He looks in good condition.
He looks in good condition. Okay. Sasha.
Putting on my leather jacket?
As you're putting on your leather jacket, you do actually feel like you're palpitating.
Well, I'm feeling something soft.
Palpating.
Oh, right.
You feel like your heartbeat is irregular, and you're shaking a little bit. You don't feel like you're going to collapse. It's not dizzy like that, but you just... You feel like you've had about 50 cups of coffee.
Right.
It's quite peculiar. Again, you're still tired. It's as if you've pulled an all-nighter and were fueled entirely by coffee.
Right.
Twice.
Yep. She just puts on another jacket and puts her hands in her pockets, which, whilst people might not notice, is something that she will never have done before. Because it's a way of making your hands not ready to grasp things.
Yeah, what's with that?
But the hands are going to be sitting in their pockets.
As I know, everything that was in your pockets and the bandoliers and everything, it's all there. No one's removed any of it.
She counts the daggers. So I think I'm now on 13 daggers.
Basically, yeah. And anything you had when you went into the water is still there. Nothing appears to have been lost.
What happened? Am I dead? Are you all dead too?
Demonstrably not.
Who are you?
To be in,
Oh, that I have been mistaken for the face of an angel. You are not dead, Hammett.
Bertie, actually, where on earth are we?
It's good to see you, Bertie.
It's good to see you too, Hammett.
What are you doing here? And what are we doing here? And what the hell is going on with everything pointing at the sockets in my legs?
I was in the Alps, and I was hunting for the lost tomb of Hannibal.
Skip to the end.
I succeeded. It was brilliant.
Well done.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
That's quite a thing.
Congratulations. Claps all round. Why?
You'll have to tell me the whole story, but later maybe.
I will. I found the Circlet of Command.
Amazing!
Sorry. Fabulous.
Time and place.
I got distracted.
So I've sent him back to Trinity. No.
Yes. Finish.
Legs. Sockets.
Yes, sorry.
Her organs weren't in her body when I found her.
What?
I put them all back in the spot. Yes,
what?
Exactly.
What about... But you put them back in the right place, right? You put them back... Hands come out of the pocket. Like, feeling... I don't really know where organs are supposed to go. But I've sliced a lot of people up. So, yes,
right. Then I had to put them back in.
Patting different bits
of body. So you know the important bits, but you don't know why they're important.
Where is my kidney?
Yes, all right. Because I woke up in that tank with a thing down my throat and I had to climb out and I don't have any legs anymore and they put socks in my leg and I've been trying to keep really calm for a very long time because I can't walk anymore and right now I'm really at under my tether. So if you wouldn't mind concentrating and telling me where we are,
that would be really nice. What does a kidney even feel like?
Waking up legless is
I'll tell you later.
Sounds like a pretty good night out to me, but there you go.
Bertie. Not in the mood, please.
Well, so, turns out that Oscar Wilde is our contact with the meritocrats, which is an awful nuisance because it means I'll need to wait until we finish this mission before I fillet him like a chicken and then press him onto a grill like a chicken and then discard bits of him like a chicken and then battery farm him like a chicken.
So where are we?
You want more Oscar Wilde?
And how did you find us?
We're deep underground. Beyond that, I can't tell you very much. I was sent a message by Mr. Wilde to head in this direction. I was escorted from Notre Dame under the surface, accompanied by a series of remarkably dim paladins. Dave and Steve are outside.
Dave and Steve.
Steve
it's, he said it, so it's true.
It's true.
Presumably it's David and Stefan.
Yeah, but he's...
No! He's Dave and Steve.
Anglicised it because he's Bertie. Yeah.
So anyway, they're outside trying to learn how to count fingers. It's hilarious. But throughout this complex, it appears to be completely uninhabited.
Someone must have done this to us. I can't... Are you okay, Sasha?
I don't know what a kidney feels like, and I don't know if I've got enough.
Yes, you do. I can personally attest all of your organs being in the right place.
Zolf, you've lost your other leg!
Yes. Thank you for that, Hamid.
I'm so sorry!
Yes.
Why did you do it? Oh, that's a statement of regret, not an apology.
For listeners, so the face practice. That is etched onto Hamid / Bryn's face at this point.
Bertie, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. How's your arm?
Your arm is functioning perfectly. Oh. No problems. In fact, the only reference to the fact that there's been anything at all, there is still the spiral scar. You notice that the skin at the exact edges of all of the spiral scar has a certain metallic quality to it. It's almost like there was an inflammation, but shiny. But beyond that, yeah, your hand seems completely functional.
Pat it thoroughly. Yes, it seems okay. Oh, Zolf, I'm so sorry. I rush over to Zolf and hug him and cry into his strong, manly shoulders.
Okay, yeah, just not on the side. Just, right, yeah.
Come now, Hammett, stiff up a bit. Everything's going to be fine.
I've had enough of my...
No point crying over spilt limbs.
Yeah. Do the rest of us have ports in bits of us as well?
No.
Oh, it's only Zolf.
Aren't I lucky?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so, should we get out?
Yes. Oh, dear.
Do you want to cast your disc thing and push you along until we find you some peg legs?
We'll get you better legs. We'll get you some proper, some really good ones this time, Zolf.
Oh. Right.
Well, I've got a papoose with a vacancy.
You can cast your
I'd
cast
rather
your disc.
Die.
I haven't worked this hard to bring you all back together to have one of you die as a result. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay.
Hammond goes over to his stuff, casts prestidigitation, neatens himself up, realizes eyeliner from where he cried it all over his face.
And mine.
I know you mean I cried my eyeliner.
Yeah, onto my cheek.
Right, yes. You were finally the same height as me. Yeah. out of character joke! Out of character joke! Hammond feels awful.
Trauma, guys. Trauma.
I cast prestidigitation, pretty myself up again, and slip my sleeves back on, and I'm wearing my normal clothes, but in much more muted colours and patterns than normal.
Everything is as it should be.
Zolf, we can have you move by your magic, right? So just cast your disc and we'll get out of here.
I'm going to look around for a stick or some crutches.
So you do see, which was hidden behind some of more of the machinery that was plugged into all of you, basically. There appears to be some kind of lockers or something similar. They look appropriate. It's not like something extra was placed in there.
Yeah, sure. Well, let's have a look in there. I'd rather not.
We should search the whole place.
Yeah,
we should tear it apart and look for anything useful.
On our way in, we've gone through several levels, and the place appears to be uninhabited as far as we can tell. Granted, Dave and Steve would not be the brightest, most perceptive people. I don't know how I'm supposed to put up with somebody who sees so little and says so many stupid things. Really is quite draining, you know? It's really quite wearing.
Yeah, so you're saying that you didn't notice anyone, so basically it's a thrumming hive of activity out there.
I make eye contact with Zolf and try really hard not to sigh.
I just raise an eyebrow and shake my head. Considering the fact that there are at least, this room was inhabited by at least four people, not including yourself, because somebody did have to do the whole tank arm, whole torso thing.
Unless that was you, Bay.
No, I've been busy.
Good, right, so my organs probably are likely to be in the right place then.
Yeah, they were. They were all there, okay? They were all there.
I did.
How long is my intestine?
As long as a normal intestine?
That's just a little metagame note. Zolf, I'll tell you because you're the only one that will know and appreciate this. You did an amazing job putting Sasha back together and they will never know, but real masterful work.
I'll know.
You'll know.
let's search this room.
Yes.
Yes, we have time. As I say, Dave and Steve are outside.
Have you shown them your look at my finger trick, which you use to calm down?
Yes, it's basic object permanence is the first lesson. They seem to be grasping it.
Yes. The Apollo lot,
so,
I like that.
So, should we say that you searched the room?
Yeah.
I would say either you each search for different things and you give me separate roles, or you give me one role and all of you aid one person. It's just a general.
I sit down and say, find me some crutches or a walking stick.
I look for things that could be crutches or a walking stick.
Okay. Anyone else searching for anything?
Bertie's looking for anything that looks expensive or fun or dangerous.
Okay.
I'm looking for clues as to who or what the thing that did this to us might be.
Clues! Okay, all of you give me your roles respectively. Obviously, Zolf, maybe not. You're occupied.
Are we modifying these at all?
You will be giving these. They are a perception check.
24.
24 for Sasha, so...
22.
6.
So, Sasha, going round.
Nothing here is dangerous at all. In fact, there's nothing alive here. Why am I talking?
It's the Bertie classic model.
So, Sasha, searching around, obviously you beeline for lockers. Mm. Cupboards where people place things probably have things in them. Mm. So, the first one that you open contain large amounts of surgical equipment. Mm. However, it doesn't appear to have been used recently or anything like that. So, it's all very carefully itemised and so on. In the other locker, you see a pair of mechanical legs.
Yay!
They appear in a good condition. However, they also look incredibly complex. As in, I know that Sasha's into her mechanisms.
Yeah, I appreciate
this. This is proper field day mechanisms.
Okay. So what she might do is look at them and enjoy the complexity and be appraising them.
Go for it.
For a while, before maybe telling Zolf that she's found them. 14 plus 8, because I know where to put my skills. Appraising is important. So, 22.
So, with 22, this isn't your area of expertise, because it's quite niche, but nonetheless, there's a good chance that each of them is probably worth more than about 20,000. They are, like, real top-of-the-line, astonishing... You're not aware that people have been doing work this good. This isn't just like... You've heard of clockwork mechanisms where, you know, you sort of wind them up and, you know, they're good for a while.
I mean, are there other mechanical limbs around, or does it seem like it was really lucky that we fell into the exact lab where they were looking for someone with two... And also, are they at the right joint? So are they like full legs?
Oh god, I've had like three knees.
In the wrong sort of knee thing. Because as it is, if all you really need is a mechanical ankle and then a socket.
So they look fit for a dwarf.
I mean, you can argue they may have been intended because they put the sockets in my leg, so they're probably going to do that later.
Yeah, maybe they made them.
Yeah.
And there appears also to be a left arm.
Ah!
Which also appears fit for a dwarf. However, it is unusual. It doesn't have a normal hand on the other end of it. The configuration is very different. It looks like... It looks like it's capable of like holding things and manipulating things, but it looks like someone went, you know what's better than one opposable thumb? Four opposable thumbs and no fingers.
Yeah.
So it's quite alien in its design. Hamid, searching around for just the generic clues, you find very little of interest, to be honest. You do see that the room is kept in mint condition, clean. There don't appear to be anything like footprints, clothing for anyone nearby. What you do notice, though, is as you're looking around, is you start examining the items in the ceiling a bit more, and you start noticing that there appear to be mechanical, but not replicating organic, limbs in the ceiling. In fact, it looks like they would be capable of reaching down and then back up.
Right.
And you notice once you start examining a bit more that they seem to have a wide array of equipment, both surgical and things that, frankly, you don't have the expertise to recognise. Yeah.
So for reference, are we thinking like car factory style?
Yeah.
I'm going to cast Detect Magic as well while I go.
Go for it.
Just
so
I don't have to roll to cast it. Yeah. People.
Two hands.
Two working arms.
Yeah.
So looking around, there's nothing on the ground level, but looking up at the equipment, you see there's equal parts divine magic and necromantic magic. It doesn't appear to be... It's very complex, so some bits are necromantic, some bits are divine. However, unusual for those two schools, which tend to oppose, they seem to be coherently holding together.
That's not that unusual. I mean, if it's evil divine power, it goes quite well with necromantic.
But, yeah, effectively, it appears to be a combination of the two.
Yeah, yeah. And what did Bertie find?
What did Bertie find?
Bertie...
On a six.
On a six.
Looking for stuff that is worth a lot.
You found a penny.
You find, digging around, you get really, really, really bored. Because there's nothing here. Eventually, you just open arbitrarily a box that you find attached to a wall. A bunch of surgical equipment come out. You recognise, from previous experience, an adamantine scalpel. So it's a scalpel with an adamantine blade head. That's the most interesting thing that you find in the whole lot.
Yay, cutlery! Takes it.
Why not? Adamantine's worth quite a lot.
Okay.
That's probably right. Still 1,000 gold pieces.
Gold. Done.
Thanks. Something stupid like that.
Six?
Because you've had it without looking.
Yeah, you found like 50,000 worth of mechanical limbs.
Yeah, and the arm, which I might sell.
Got a crutch.
How heavy are they?
They are heavy, but not too heavy for you to lift at all.
I'm just like, I think you might like this, and I waggle them above my head, so their feet flop everywhere.
Zolf, to your practice eyes,
look what I got.
They look very bespoke for you.
What? Why? What?
Yeah, like there's a whole load of limbs over there. There's, well, I say a whole load. There's just these, really.
There's lots more on the ceiling.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they're not human limbs.
Oh, that's all right. Anyone want an upgrade? Oh, that one with all the delicate long fingers. That'd be proper good for
Wait a minute.
Like,
Bertie reaches up and shakes the hand of the delicate long
fingers. It's too high for you to reach, unless you stood on a table.
And there is a table.
Would Bertie you like stands, to attack the table?
Bertie's, Bertie stands on the table and
I lift
it.
The lever to see if it goes any higher.
It does.
Bertie shakes again. Bertie says, hello, yes, very friendly terms. And Bertie McGuffigan, delighted.
One of them moves. It then angles itself towards Bertie. What looks like some kind of mechanical lens or something rotates. And it just holds what seemingly is eye contact with Bertie for a moment.
Bertie grabs it with his left hand. Mm-hmm. Are you holding it?
You're holding it? Yeah, it didn't try to evade you.
Hello there, Mr. Ceiling. I am Sir Bertrand McGuffingham, and who has the pleasure of making my acquaintance? You know, this level of silent treatment is really quite rude. How is it connected to the ceiling?
Effectively, it is a double-hinged joint, and so it sort of zigzags up.
Yeah.
And there are sort of cabling and things running down it, and the lens appears to be struggling to focus because you're holding it way too close to your face, so it's sort of... It isn't struggling against you, but the lens is...
Ah! Bertie, like, puts it so it's straight over his mouth and goes, ah! Right into it.
It continues doing that.
bloody pokes it.
Leave the ceiling alone. It just
another one comes down. It appears to be of a similar but not identical construction and is now examining Bertie from a different angle.
Can Bertie see that?
Yeah, it's not being stealthy in any way.
Do we think that whoever did this is watching us through those?
Or do you think the ceiling did this itself? Like, Mr. Ceiling might be our most dangerous foe yet.
Bertie grabs the other one that's come down behind it in his right hand and puts them together and says, Mr. Ceiling, meet Mr. Ceiling.
A third arm starts coming down. This one has a needle on the end.
Bertie.
Again, it is moving slowly and it's not being stealthy, but it does appear to be moving directly at it.
Acid splash, range touch attack.
Please do so.
I probably miss because I rolled a 3, which gives me an attack of 7.
You miss, but you do hit a bunch of apparatus in the ceiling.
Yeah.
It stops, retracts, another thing comes down. It appears to be something akin to a microscope, given that the two wider angles appear to be occupied, and it comes down and begins examining Hamid. It just approaching slowly, just...
Guys, I think maybe we could. What we could do is get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Be not in this place. I got Zolt's legs.
Do you want to give me? Yeah, I'll see if
you want to try them now, or should we like get out of here and then you can put them on?
Legs might be useful for me getting out of here.
We can. Right. Okay. Just be quick. Look, the whole ceiling is looking at us.
I make eye contact with the thing that's pointing at me. And I say, "What you did, I don't normally approve of this sort of thing." But we're going to drown you in a bucket.
I mean, he might have saved your life, Hamid.
Probably don't drink or breathe or, you know, it's a robot.
Go rusty, maybe.
Yeah. I'm going to try to put these legs on. I don't know if I'm going to understand that, but I'm just going to poke them at the sockets.
Nothing happens. It isn't a case of, like, there is a sort of male socket, female socket, just plug them in, done. There's a large amount of what looked to be quite delicate sort of points of contact between the two. It's very complex. It doesn't look like something you can just smash together. It looks like it would take a lot of work to put together.
All right, carrying might be an option.
So cast your disc and we can push you out of there.
How long did it take you to get down here, Bertie?
5 or 10 minutes, so you can get out in that sort of time.
All right, probably got enough then. Might have to carry me the last bit of the way and I'll cast the disc and climb onto it.
Mm-hmm.
And
Sasha will push you out.
Sasha, the second that you move... Mm-hmm. Suddenly you just lose all coordination and fall prone. Ooh. So you were all right moving at the very gentle searching pace, but the second that you were like, right, I'm going to move, you're prone. And it's just like your legs just went straight out from under you and your heart rate suddenly spikes.
Zolf, you didn't put my organs back right.
Yeah,
Zolf,
I did.
Zolf, I'm in the
just
wrong order.
Calm
I'm
down.
In the wrong order.
Calm down.
I'm in the
Get
wrong order.
Get on a stepping stone.
What?
I'm going to grab her and try and heft her up.
You can stand quite easily.
Stand up then.
Just get on here and someone else push.
Stand next to the stone, try pushing it again.
Bertie says, Dave, Steve, get in here. I've got some heavy lifting for you. It's really heroic heavy lifting.
Moving slowly, Sasha, you seem all right again. You seem to be having no trouble. Mm. Bertie, there is no reply to your call.
What? Steve? Oh, God, they're probably just laying hands on each other again.
There has been a big, big storing up of jokes in you, hasn't there, Jim? It's like a dam bursting.
I tell them not to do that, they'll go blind. Steve!
But then they'll fix it again.
They'll fix it again. The thing is that the paladins fix it again by putting their hands over their eyes, and then they think they don't exist anymore. They think it's night. Fall asleep like a falcon. Steve! Dave! What are you doing? What? There's nothing.
Right, you get
all of you give me perception checks.
No, I can't.
Natural 20 for Bertie on a perception check.
What?
Yeah.
14 for Sasha.
Still 19 in total.
Bertie's still in hero mode, isn't he?
Yeah.
22 for
and
me.
23 for me.
What did you get, Sasha?
14.
Everyone apart from Sasha hear the sound of receding metal footsteps. Two of them.
Two sets,
sorry.
I'll go to the door and stick my head out.
You can't see anyone, but it looks like the sound is coming from just around a corner of a corridor.
Hello? Is anyone there?
There's no response. Looking out into the corridor for the first time, you see that much like the interior, lit electrically, there are bulbs as opposed to strip lighting, and they are very regularly set out, and the walls appear mostly metallic with a white finish. Occasionally you'll see a little bit of what looks like worked stone has been sort of worked in together.
Does Hamid have Detect Magic still active, and would that be helpful for tracking down the paladins who are probably a bit magic-y?
It only lasts 3 minutes, so
and
I'm assuming not.
Also right. Can't see through a certain amount of substances, so...
So I have to be seen.
It's not like X-ray vision, which is a thing, but not at this level.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Slowly pushing Zolf out the door.
Okay. Going slowly, Sasha, you're all right. So moving slowly, it seems all right. It's just when you were trying to move at full pace, you just completely lost your balance. But at a walking pace, you're fine.
They were pumping chemicals into you. I imagine it will take a while for them to work out.
Who's they? Who's they?
Mr. Ceiling.
What? Oh, all right.
That's a legitimate explanation.
That's the name now. It's been established.
So Dave, Steve, and Mr. Ceiling.
Mr. Ceiling, our old nemesis. We meet again.
You see
in a ceiling.
It took quite some time to track you down.
Now we're in space where all of the walls are a ceiling. See what happens. See how much easier it is when you just delegate naming to somebody who's got a real gift for it.
Well, I did that and I ended up with Figgis last time.
I love Figgis. Figgis is my favourite.
Everyone loves Figgis, right?
I'm still on a single hit point, so I'm going to drink a healing potion.
Go for it.
Oh. Great. Thanks for that.
Did you miss? Did you miss your
hand? I rolled a one.
You heal Mr. Ceiling.
He's got a drinking problem now.
It splashes on the floor and the ceiling shivers.
To be fair, I've tripled my number of hit points.
Hey.
Impressive. Was on one. Now I'm on three.
300% increase in hit points is not
200% increase.
That's good maths, yes.
Slow down, champ.
Right, chaps. Well, it appears a pattern in the scarpered. Presumably there was somebody down the corridor who needed to hear the good news of their Lord Apollo.
As stupid as they may be, we are still in the catacombs. You said you were deep underground, right?
Very deep underground.
Yeah,
yes.
So it's still potentially dangerous. So we should
let's get moving. Yeah. Let's get moving now, shall we?
Yes.
Sasha is going to be pushing Zolf as far as she can behind with Bertie up front.
As a speed thing, the second that you're moving faster than a walk, you just lose all balance again.
So just keeps walking very slowly.
Okay. So you proceed.
Following behind Bertie, who's leading the way.
Yeah. You encounter no problems. You head down the corridor, take a right, it's empty. There's the distant sound of machinery at the very, very far end of that corridor, but it's quite long. It looks like, by the way, that someone has done an enormous amount of construction work on the catacombs and rendered them into something usable, something functional and efficient. Mm-hmm. Taking a right, a left. It's vaguely complex, but very coherent.
But how did you know where we were? You said Oscar Wilde. How does Oscar Wilde know where we are?
Oscar Wilde? Well, you'd have to ask him. I would very much like to see him in person and pump him thoroughly on this matter. He guided me along the corridors. It was like a voice stuck in my helmet. Take one step forward, one step left, side step left. It was a real
nightmare.
For a while, I thought I had my helmet on the wrong way around. It was very difficult.
You hear that, the footsteps that you were hearing earlier? Are clearly heading in exactly the same direction that you are. Eventually you reach a stairwell, but the floating disc is okay with the stairwell.
Well, I have to recast it a couple of times.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I haven't had a chance to meditate or pray, so I don't have any of my... Oh, actually, no, this is a supernatural ability that happens like once a day. So have I been refreshed? I don't know.
Yes.
But yeah, cool. Okay, so it's been more than a day, in which case I have enough.
Have my spell slots refreshed?
Yes.
Might I suggest, Mr. Smith, as we progress in an orderly fashion towards the exit, that you do your best to heal these nice young people.
Right. Sure. Good plan.
As you are heading to the stairwell...
And we're following the sound of the paladins.
Following the sound of the footsteps, presumably the paladins.
Okay.
As you reach the stairwell, you see, in the stairwell, heading down below you, the two paladins walking side by side, at a gentle pace, just walking away downwards.
Steve! Dave!
There's no response.
As Bertie asked, I will... do I still have my holy symbol?
Yes.
Good. I will grab hold of that, wisp something, and channel positive energy. And I will heal everyone for 9 points of damage.
I'm still
Yay.
Fine.
Yeah.
In addition to that, suddenly there is some sparking from the wall beside you, and it appears like some kind of cable or something has overloaded on the wall on your left-hand side, right next to you. It just... You notice that it burns out for the exact range of your channel positive energy.
Ah, right. You meant in necromancy, didn't you?
Yes, I
right.
saw some.
This is this place is running on negative energy.
Okay. Where are the paladins going?
Good question, Steve, Dave, and Bertie jogs to catch up with them.
You catch up quite easily.
And taps, let's say Steve, taps Steve on the shoulder.
Stefan, he keeps walking.
Steve? Fine, Stefan.
She keeps walking. They eventually
I'm sorry for not calling you by your stupid name.
They eventually reach a new floor and
I
start opening a door to
trot
leave.
After, and cast Tech Magic again.
Okay. You see that there is... Presumably you concentrate on it to detect as much as you can.
Yep.
Yeah, it's of the enchantment school, a compulsion effect. Probably mind-affecting, just throwing that out
Bertie,
there.
Bertie, so someone's done something to their thoughts. They're under a spell.
Bertie grabs Steve by the shoulders and just shakes him bodily.
He stops as he's being shaken. The other one carries on walking and he just stands there, staring straight ahead. He has a faint smile.
So their normal expression.
Yeah,
yeah. But he's really, really handsome, but, you know, it's a good smile.
Okay, fair enough. Bertie does, you know that thing where you put your, so you're facing somebody, you put your leg, like, around their legs so that it's then, like, a tripping thing?
Yeah.
You can then push them back over and they fall over. Yeah, Bertie does that with Steve.
He falls over onto his back, takes a moment. He doesn't fall heavily. Like, he is wearing armour, so there's a clang. He then carefully just gets up, still with a smile, and starts stepping around you to carry on in the direction.
Bertie.
Which way are they heading?
Yeah, which way are they heading?
Still heading in the direction that you came in, Bertie. So
still heading,
down those stairs, and you've already head down a couple of levels to catch up with them, and they are now heading out through a set of double doors at the stairwell.
Bertie continues to follow the paladins and just takes the odd opportunity to just like flick the back of their ears, just give them a bit of a shove.
I'll walk back to the two behind and just be like, "That's really weird, right? Why has someone cast a spell on the paladins?
They wanted to get us alone."
Yeah, and what if the last like.
I don't
know. Hours or days or however long it's been has not been weird.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened.
If something normal happened, then
you're
I'd get
right.
freaked.
I'm currently done with investigating, all right? I'm going to get out, I'm going to have a night's sleep, try and find a way to get mobility back at all.
Yeah.
Bertie's slightly out of hero range of this conversation. I think Dave gets a slap on the bottom just to encourage him along. There's a clang.
Yep. They don't react at all.
No.
You're finally on the same level that you entered in.
Mm-hmm.
The corridors start being more stone than steel. A voice, as if from nowhere, appears equally loudly to all of you.
Please don't leave.
What?
Leave.
Leave.
What was that? Did you hear that?
Say it loud. Leave.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's be doing that.
I mean you no harm.
But what about my organs?
Leave.
Right. Continue pushing Zolf out.
Bertie continues to kind of jostle the paladins forward.
I can still fix you.
We'll come back.
What are you promising to fix? The fact that I'm falling over?
With fire.
Is this a male or female voice?
Very hard to tell.
Who are you?
I'm not sure you're ready to hear that yet.
Right, bye.
Well, I think on balance I'll probably be fine. Go on, try me.
I'm not sure you're ready to hear that yet.
I think on balance I'm probably going to be fine. Why not try me?
They're in a logic loop.
Hold on. I'll show you.
See, I won.
Let's keep moving towards the exit, shall we?
We're probably... So, me pushing Zolf very slowly behind... You and the paladins by quite a way. I'm
guessing. We're still moving along. Like Bertie's still jostling these because a couple of mind control paladins, etc. Yeah, that's a bit creepy. So push. How close are we to the actual exit?
A couple of hundred feet.
Okay.
The voice calls out again.
I fixed Sasha. If you wait a moment, I can fix your legs too, Zolf.
How does it know what our names were? How does it know that? How does it know what our names are? Did it read our minds?
I mean, you no harm.
Oh dear.
Yeah. I saw how you left, Sasha. Don't believe you.
The work wasn't finished, but you did an excellent job, Zolf.
Do you have... No, we're leaving.
I mean, if they can give you nice, good legs, I mean, those are proper... I appraised those
I
legs.
Know what your power network is running off of.
You're very lucky to have a friend like Zolf, Sasha.
Just shut up. Leave.
Okay, right. You know what's best, but, I mean, if they could make your legs, that might...
I don't care! I don't want anything from thee. Whatever the... This is...
Mr. Ceiling?
Yeah.
All right. Let's just push you out of there. I try and speed up, during which I assume I lose my balance.
Okay. What is your real name?
I suppose it's Mr. Ceiling.
Good. You see, I was correct. There we are. Excellent.
What have you done to these bandits?
Size.
What have you done to Steve and Dave?
I've asked them to leave. Don't worry, they'll be very happy.
Yeah, they're very happy anyway. Like I'm not sure they understand sad. It's a long, tricky word for them.
Please don't leave. I'd like to talk.
Well, what's this? Is it a conversation or a steam locomotive? Come on.
Bertie's got snappy while he's been away.
Why are you people down here?
Well, I was sent here to rescue these three. On a noble, heroic quest. You know, the idea, maybe it'll be written down in some elevated tome. Read
Sasha,
from aloud.
Zolf,
Bertie continues with all of
this. Yeah. In the background.
Yeah.
You're very lucky to have a friend like Bertie.
This is an excellent material for a statue. You know, I'm thinking of something. Maybe I'm in a chariot. Maybe the chariot is in a chariot.
Bronze has a weak tensile strength. It would be unsuitable for a chariot.
You're right, titanium. I could have a titanium statue. Mm.
So, you eventually make it, presumably the conversation carries on.
Sasha has fallen down because she was trying to go faster.
Yeah.
Does that still continue after I've been healed?
Yes, although it's not like you're in pain.
Yeah.
The best description I can say is that your legs just get away from you.
What are you doing? Like, why have you made it so I can't do anything? What have you done to me?
I'm sorry, Sasha. Is it the wrong kidneys? There'll be an adjustment period. You were dead.
What?
Hang on.
Wait, what? No, I wasn't. I woke up. See, clearly.
I mean you no harm. There will be an adjustment period.
What did you do?
Why did you kill me?
You're fixed.
Right.
There will be an adjustment period.
Just shut up. Just...
Sorry, Zolf.
We're going. Maybe we'll come back. If you're nice to us.
What did you say it was running on, Zolf?
Negative energy.
Is that a bad thing?
Yes.
Yes.
If you leave, I might have to change your memories. I don't want to change your memories.
I don't want that happening
Let's talk.
They will be good memories.
Shut up. Don't shut up. Just...
What would you like me to do, Zolf?
What do you want?
I would like to talk.
Who are you?
Mr. Sealing, I suppose.
What's your...
Come on, Mr. Smith, pay attention.
Why don't you show yourself?
I think it would be best if you have a moment to adjust.
No. Look, we've been through a lot, all right? We're prepared to put up with whatever weird stuff you're going to reveal, whatever's going to happen, fine. Just get it over with. None of this suspense rubbish.
Wait, one moment, Mr. Smith. I have an idea. And at this point, are we by the doorway?
Yeah, you're maybe 50 feet from the entrance.
Okay, so Bertie's plan is to go up to the doorway and shove one of the paladins through it and to then talk to the paladin on the other side.
You can see from here that the two paladins who were on the other side of that doorway, who were sort of stood there, they're apparently gone.
Right.
Now, I had two more of these. Graham, John.
Oh, for God's sake, James.
Wait. What's Graham the anglicisation of?
It might have just been something that he couldn't pronounce.
Yeah, something completely... Jean, obviously. But what is Graham? What's the Frenchest name you can think of?
Gruyère.
Yeah, yes.
Gruyère.
I'm afraid that Graham and John apparently have left. Again, the voice...
I'll make sure they get to the top okay.
I mean, it sounds quite nice.
No, look, all right. Huddle, all right?
I'm already standing right next to you.
That's just, that leans down. That's it, really. All right.
Memory editing.
It's where you sort of change the memories of a person.
I thought that might happen. But, you know, the things what happened.
Yes.
Yeah, brilliant.
Seems logical.
Yeah.
So, do you think that we really encountered a tentacle monster, or that was just a nightmare? I'd like to think it was just a nightmare.
I mean, I have no memory of encountering a tentacle monster whatsoever.
You weren't there.
Oh, that'll be why then.
If you would like to see it, I can show you the way.
No, thank you. No, that'll be fine.
Right.
Okay, Hamid.
I don't know our names.
Mind control. Come on. Memory editing.
My name's monogrammed into all my clothing.
Or that, maybe.
I'm sorry about your shirt, Hamid.
That's okay.
You know, maybe it's stitched into Bertie's underpants.
What, Hamid? We got the same size, Mr. Smith. What's wrong with you at the moment?
Obviously, I'm having a bit of trouble adjusting.
Yeah.
But I'm okay, but what you did to Zolf is not okay. And what have you done to Sasha? Why don't you explain this... enhancement. This.
Are you aware of the idea of consent?
What is consent?
Yeah, I didn't think so. Did I ask you to take my other leg off?
No.
Did Sasha ask you to remove her organs?
She could not. She was dead.
I was what?
Are you in pain, Sasha?
Am I? No!
Good. Please let me know if that changes.
Wait, is it likely to?
No, but I just don't want you in pain.
Right, decision time. So Bertie, now he picks up Steve by the scruff of the neck.
Unless you have been holding them back, they will have just walked out in this time.
I've been holding on to them.
That's fine. They've been not forcefully just trying to remove your hand the whole time.
That's fine. Bertie is angled by the door. He is holding Dave by the arm so that he's secured on the correct side of the same side of the door we are. And Steve, he's just literally shoved Steve through the door, but is still holding him. So Bertie's arm that is holding Steve is over the threshold.
Steve sort of stumbles, right, and then tries to remove your arm from...
So, and then Bertie then turns Steve's head to him and says, Steve! Steve! You paying attention? Any answer?
Nothing.
Knowledge Arcana. 13. It's till the command is done.
You know that if they are under the effect that you believe they are under, yes, it will continue until the effect is complete and then it will cease.
Yeah. That's not how it works. They'll carry out the instruction.
Or it can time out depending on how strong the effect was.
Or it can time out depending on how strong. I'm going to imagine, because of all of this, gesturing at myself, pretty powerful. So
I bother hanging on to them then, or should we just let them go?
Do you know the way back?
Yes.
Right, well, yeah, fine.
If you'd like, I can show you now. I think you've had some adjustment time.
Right.
Show us what?
Oh, it's the tentacle monster, isn't it? I'm going to bet it's the tentacle monster. Guys, you do not want to see this if this is the tentacle monster.
At the other end of the
corridor. It's more mouse than tentacle, really. It's a mouth monster.
A sphere.
Not a tentacle monster.
Moves into view.
Oh, it's not.
It's about the size of a football.
It's not the tentacle monster.
It moves at walking pace towards you at a completely fixed flight. Its maneuverability is presumably perfect because it's moving as if on rails.
I slowly raise my hand. Curl three of my fingers, pointing at it in readiness.
Making what I'd like to call the pew pew.
Pew 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 pew.
Actually looks a lot less terrifying than I was expecting.
It approaches and continues to do so unless anyone does anything otherwise.
Bertie lets go of the paladins and he draws his sword.
The paladins just start walking off through the cave system.
All right, Mr. Ceiling.
Comes close.
I like having a name. If you'd like to follow me, I can introduce you to me.
Yeah, go on then.
And I think we'll end the episode there. I'm a terrible person.
But yes. We admire his
So, anyone have any ideas? Any clues? Any thoughts?
This is Portal, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I was getting Portal vibes. Yeah. I hope not.
God, if I could get the rights to the cake song. If I could get the rights, I would.
Yeah, Jonathan Coulton might be a bit chilled out.
Maybe it's a listener. Yeah. We'll have to find out. Well, tune in next week and hopefully we'll find out a bit more about what's going on. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at @TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Pretty myself up again and slip my sleeves back on and I'm wearing my normal clothes but in much more muted colours and patterns than normal.
Everything is as it should be.
Yeah. It's in morning garb.
Not quite. I haven't gone full out morning.
You still look like he's Beverly Hills 90210 or something. Some pastel jacket.
How dare you? I'm not some sort of preppy. I'm a well-dressed gentleman.
All right.
For the listeners at home, James is saying as well, dressed in a shiny waistcoat and a silk tie.
I've never known James to be anything less than formal on his top half.
Okay, yeah, I've got an extremely overfamiliar lower half. That's how it works.
You know what's better than one opposable thumb? Four opposable thumbs and no fingers.
Yeah.
So it's quite alien in its design.
Wait, what are they all opposing?
Each other. You also
opposable. right? We could take against them, but no, we're going to have diplomatic relationships between all of the digits. And
it's more of a detente arm.
Nothing happens. It isn't a case of like there is a sort of male socket, female socket, just plug them in, done. It's really complicated.
Yep. Don't assign roles to sockets,
yeah.
Alex.
What are you doing?
Oh, sorry.
They can be together in whatever configuration they want.
He's such the problem,
what
isn't he?
Is he? He like, is the man, he is, you know?
It's weird. Like, my gender politics and my sound engineering side are now at war with one another. And I'm struggling to speak.
What? I say a whole load. There's just these, really.
There's lots more on the ceiling.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they're not human limbs.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean...
So I looked up to say that.
I love that in audio, yeah, in audio. Yeah,
I also,
everyone looks up, apart from Bertie, who's just looking at his sheet, i.e. a scalpel going, hmm.
Welcome to the theatre of the mind.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.